Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Feel the pulse of the real life on 657 AM. 657 AM, the sounds of your life.
657 AM, Radio Pulpit coming to you live. We trust the Father is doing you well, blessing you so much. In a mighty way, the best of friends you and I are. This is happening throughout up to the hour 8. Wednesday Live, the name of the show. And of course, I'll be talking to Muruti Karabo Maraka and also Professor Samuel Kabamba. I want to say first and foremost, thank you so much to Johan Els, who's been holding you tight, in a love fellowship, you know, and of course, taking care of your company in something else, Spectrum. I call it my joyride. You know, you can give it your name, but I call it my joyride, that when I drive over to work, I'm able to listen to this wonderful man. And, of course, who is healing so graciously. May he continue to be the blessing that he is, even beyond his comprehension. In the name of Yahushua HaMashiach. Let me welcome our guest. Let me start with Professor Samuel Kabamba. Professor Ri, greetings.
Greetings, sir, and thank you very much for having us again today. We are so blessed that the Lord has given us again the grace of life. And I greet everyone and say thank you to whatever this way you're doing. This is what
Okay, Muruti, I can't hear you clearly. I don't know. There's a distortion of a sort there. Are you on a speaker?
Yeah, but let me just try to remove it. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now you're clear. How are you, Professor?
No, we're doing fine. We cannot complain. Everything's fine.
Yeah, that's good to hear that. And we have Muruti Karabo Maraka. He's also on the line. Greetings to you, servant of the Most High.
Greetings, my brother. And greetings to Brother Samuel. Yeah, it's wonderful to be together again tonight by God's grace. And greetings to the listeners and participants on the program. Wednesday Live, we really thank God and we depend on the Holy Spirit to lead us.
Fantastic. And tonight we are talking about the disfigurements of sin. Okay. When people drink alcohol, you know, and they drink years and years and years, regardless whether it's a bit of wine after eating and stuff, you check the liters you've drunk in a year, you'd be shocked. Their faces start to change. Where I grew up, they used to call it bir chesech. They would say bir chesech because you're drinking excess alcohol in that you start to shake. You know, when this person has not been given alcohol, they shake. My brother, Aubrey, used to drink so much. And I think the fact, this man drank himself to a pulp for 40 years. And for the past 8 years, he has been sober. And then I say to him, Brur, you never saw your youth, you know. And he would tell me how this thing had gotten so much. And he'd say, sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I would feel alcohol smelling on my skin like it's an ointment. He says, this thing was so deep. That's how deep it was. He became so sick that he was almost dying. You know, we thank the Father that he made it up, you know, and he plays far away from alcohol these days. But the issue is, there is a disfigurement that comes with that. And then you start to, you know, your lips become red and stuff. People who smoke weed, they know their fingers are bent up. Their nails are bending. Huh? Teeth is becoming dark brown. Huh? and they start to grow sores on the palms of their hands. Weed. The very same thing that they say is good. Killing them. You know? Let me speak about my friend Tennyson Phahlane. Tennyson, I went to school with doing matric, starting from what we used to know as Form 3, Form 4, Form 5. And I remember, very well. Is it at Form 2? Yes, but I was with Tennyson for quite some time. His name in the streets is Sien. He was in our debate team. I remember we were doing a debate called Salvation, education is the recipe of salvation for the future. And we were talking about that. That is back in 88. Now, what is amazing is I saw him just before COVID when I was with my wife. He lives in the streets where we all left. You know, he left his home and went into the streets. He is incoherent. He has dementia. I don't know what happened to his eyes. He lives for drugs. He's changed. No longer that sports guy, that short, handsome sports guy. Alcohol, drugs that disfigured him, especially weed. And we are talking about sin. That sin also has these similar effects. It brings a disfigurement of a sort. And we need to look into that, you know. I don't know, man. I talk with people who have problem with Nyaope every day. Every day. And most of the people that I talk with them in the morning, just between 4:30 in the morning and 5. When I'm running, I know where I will find them. Some people, when you're running, you're surprised. You just step on a person, you hear, oh! Someone is sleeping on a passage where everybody passes by. Here in Pretoria, next to the Union Building, they sleep there. Even in the building, Union Building yards, they sleep there. And these are people who were at universities. But somehow, drug addiction had got them even disfigured. I looked at the young man today who was standing at the robots. I was driving from the Tshwane University of Technology. And then I saw this young man. He has got his legs amputated. And he's on Nyaope big time. I see him quite often. But today I took a look into him. He's a nice young man. And you could see these legs were broken either by being hit by a car and all those things and stuff. All these are disfigurements. Things that should not have happened. We see them coming along. So tonight we are touching this very, very painful subject of disfigurements of sin. And I started in this way, even with the crew of Tuesday. I'd like to get into it even deeper, if possible. Yet the word is saying quite a lot here. It's talking about these disfigurements of sin being the wounds of sin. The wounds of sin. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 33 says, wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. The wounds that come as a reproach because of sinfulness. If we don't move away from sin, we have a serious problem. We need to move away from sin. This is a reproach that is difficult to even wipe out. It's a reproach that is spoken of in the way that it will not be wiped out. If one doesn't repent, it's a reproach. That is also known as wounds, spiritual wounds, physical wounds, spiritual dishonor, physical dishonor, which means sicknesses and all those kinds of things and stuff. It says he will get, which means this person formerly didn't have these things. These things are acquired. and they become a process of deficiency on him. Proverbs 6:33 says that. And if you look into Proverbs 23:29 says, who has woe? Who has woe? In other words, who has trouble? Check it out. Check it out. Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without a cause? Who has redness of eyes? We know redness of eyes is a sign of inflammation. Eh? It's a sign of inflammation in the body. Wounds without a cause. Getting injured without a cause. Who has contentions? Now, spirits fighting against you. Who has complaints? Who has woe, trouble? And who has sorrow? All these are disfigurements of sin. Woe, which is trouble, sorrow, contentions, which is like contemptuous, competitive spirits against you, complaints, because of sin, people will start complaining against you. And then wounds without a cause. And someone says, no, it's life. No, it's not. It's wounds without a cause. And the redness of eyes. That's inflammation, which means the body is attacked. Your immune system is attacked. Talking about this when we come back.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Radio Pulpit understands that praying alone isn't always easy. So join us to form a chain of prayer for you and with you. To do so, send in your prayer requests on 067-429-7564. That is 067-429-7564. Or alternatively, email us on prayer@radiopulpit.co.za. That is prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
One vision, one voice, one message. Radio Pulpit 657 AM and 729 Cape Pulpit. Impacting lives from Gauteng to the Cape.
All right, then, let me start with you, Muruti Muraka, today. Sin can really disfigure. What comes to mind? What are your definitions, sir?
Yeah, thank you, my brother. To start first off, I want to read there in Romans chapter 3, where it says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Mm. That is Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. And I will not go further with that verse. And then I come again to Romans chapter 7, verse 17 and 18. But now, it is no longer I who perform it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to want is present besides me, but to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil I will not do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who is performing it, but sin that dwells in me. I think like the Messiah, when he started to preach, said, change your thinking. There is a need to change our thinking concerning sin, first of all. That sin, number one, is the principality. It's not just an act. It's a being. It's a spiritual being, a principality. And in chapter 7, there where I finished off, that's where we really perceive that we are not dealing with an act, we are dealing with a being that has retreated to the flesh. And that is also supported by Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is defunct because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, with those that are born from above, who are begotten above, sin retreats to the flesh, to the body. And it is still malevolent. It is still malicious in its outworking. It doesn't stop just because it has reversed to the body. Those that are not born again, sin is on the throne in their lives and is actually directing their steps. From morning to night. So, and none of us can say, I have nothing to do with sin. I am not associated ever with sin, because we have heard that all have sinned. Why did all sin? Because sin controlled them. Sin held them as slaves to do its bidding, to carry out its desires. So only when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Why? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, He made him who knew no sin to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The Messiah was the only person who was not under the dominion of sin, even in his mother's womb. He never experienced sin because he never yielded to the temptations that the enemy would put that he should sin. The same way that the enemy had tempted Eve and Adam. But he willingly chose to become sin. To become the offering. And in 2 Peter it says he carried our sins in his body. So when we accept that he has done this for us, and each person accept, there is a change. And I think in your story, the first example, I sensed that the person has changed because they have given their life to the Lord. I don't remember you mentioning, but I sense that, and I may be wrong, but it normally is the case where people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then the slavery is broken. The slavery of sin is broken, and sin retreats to the flesh. Now, tonight we are talking about the disfigurement that sin brings. It stays with a person from conception to burial, and it continues to work at corrupting. If you are not born again, corrupting the soul, corrupting the body, distorting the soul, distorting the body. If you become born again, it only remains with retreating to the flesh and hoping to continue the work of corruption in the body. Because in any way, even if we are born again, our flesh still corrupts. It may be slowed down. We, you know, like somebody who has been a slave, which everybody recognizes that this person is a slave, like a person who is a slave to drugs, a person who is slave to alcohol, where everybody agrees that that person is enslaved by that substance. And not in actually realizing the person is enslaved by a principality called sin, which is enslaving even most of the people who would actually be looking at that other person and passing judgment. Now, if that person accepts the law and the Spirit of God comes and dwells in that person, there is normally a visible change even in their body. You can see that the deterioration has been arrested and slowed down tremendously to a point that those who may have known him or her in years previous, when they come to see that person now that they are born again, then they would wonder, what has happened to you? It is the fact that inside, in their soul, the corruption has been stopped, halted. It may be slowly as embers be continuing in the body. And therefore, the disfigurement that we will be talking about tonight, I hope that by God's grace, he will help us to see that they are not only outside, but they are inside and they are outside. And to those that are not born again, they still continue with the disfigurements that are inside. And those that are born again, they cannot obliterate the disfigurements that are in the flesh. However, when their inner man continues to grow freshened, even that freshness shines through and makes them seem as if they have been rejuvenated, even although they will go through this process of the flesh deteriorating, degrading, until they die. And then, of course, we know the greatest deterioration of the flesh is when it decays after a person has died. It is still the continuation of the work of sin.
All right. I hear you quite well, Muruti. Thank you so much for that. If you just tuned in, welcome to it. This is Radio Pulpit. We are talking about the disfigurements of sin. Everything has effects. And someone said to me, no, talk about also the disfigurements of sugar. You know, everything has its own impact upon us. And tonight, it is the impact of sin. And on the perspective of disfigurement, when we read about the fall of the Prince of Tyre, we also read about his disfigurement. When sin was found in him, there's also disfigurement. It says people who knew him were passing by and shaking their head because of the disfigurement. And we are touching on that, how sin damages us. How sin really damages us. It's my focus tonight. And I trust the Father will bless you so much that you help us to even explore further on this. Now, I was looking at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6, Professor. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and petrifying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Amazing there. Disfigurements of sin. It says from the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it. Soundness means sanity, divine sanity. A disfigurement is that one loses divine sanity and it looks like those sores from the sole to the head. It says, but wounds and bruises and petrifying sores, all these are effects of these demonic spirits which perpetuate sin, making home in one's life. And however can they do it except to destroy, steal, or kill? There's no other way. And it says, these bruises are petrifying. Petrifying. You know, when someone is injured and they're even afraid to look at them at hospital. It says they have not been closed, or bound up, or soothed with ointment. Closed, forgiveness. Bound up, restoration. Clothed with ointment, restitution. It says that is not there. This disfigurement drives you even far away from that. Professor.
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. You know, sin really destroys, sin kills. You know, the Bible speaks about, when the Bible talks about sin, the picture that we can have here is whenever there was a sin, something has to die so that sin may be, someone may be looked or be accepted, that something has to die. Meaning that sin takes to death, or sin as a result of death, as Muruti Muraka mentioned as well, that the wages of sin is death. Now, when you talk about the disfigurement of sin, how sin makes things ugly or makes things not proper, we can go to the Bible and check Isaiah 53 that speak to us about the report. Who should have believed that report? And when we start mentioning about what the Son of God went through, when we talk about what, I mean, the Messiah went through so that one of me and you and everyone may be saved, it shows that sin has the power to really make things not looking good, first things not being accepted, and sin takes us straight to death. Somebody has to die for sins to be, to be wiped away. Now, today we're sitting with what sin, the effect of sin, what sin can produce in someone's life. When you talk about sin, you know, we can look at it as a simple thing. As you just mentioned, few things, when you start going through and looking at people who have maybe at one point they were not, even if they were not yet Christian, but they were not living the life of, actually they were living a good life somehow, not a life, being engaged into bad things and so on and so forth. But the day they decide to go and engage themselves into the bad things, we see how they've gone from bad off to worse. They've been completely, forgotten in such a way that when you look at them, you cannot recognize them anymore. And the Bible says nobody could recognize the face of the Messiah because he went through pain because of sin. In such a way that he took upon himself all the sin, he took upon himself whatever that could fall on us, the punishment that could fall on us, but it fell on him. Now, by doing so, he could not attract anything. That means when one goes or engages himself into sin, even the little attraction that the person could have, or even the respect that the person could have, it loses that. Today, when just someone falls into sin, you know, it's like we can give an example. A man of God or a Christian, being known and whatever, but one day you find in the scandal, what happened is even the little respect that people could give to you is gone. People don't look at you anymore as, a role model. Look at how sin degrades somebody, brings somebody to a level of becoming a nobody. And when you talk about this figurement of it, it makes us to see that people lose their dignity, they lose their personality, even go further, they lose their beauty. Look at the people who are endeavoring themselves into maybe, let's give an example, a person can be a beautiful lady who engages herself into a prostitution. You take the same lady, you put her with another lady of age who is not into prostitution. You take them, you consider them. You see that the one who is in prostitution has already, she has grown to a level of becoming old while the other one is still young. And you ask yourself, so what has happened? Sin as a way of making you lose even the little respect that one can have. It takes away your dignity, it takes away your personality. It takes away, the peace that you could have. Whenever that you start looking around, like as if somebody is chasing you, then you start losing even, you cannot even, have a proper conversation with people. People who live in sin, who engage themselves in sin, no matter the kind of sin that they're in, it's like as if they're running away from something. Whatever they are, it's like somebody is pursuing them, while nobody is pursuing you. It's like they're seeing something pursuing them. Nothing is pursuing them. Now, sin as a way of really making one to lose everything. You know, one can have today, as I mentioned about a man of God, a woman of God, even anybody, a Christian, you've been doing maybe music, you've been into this, and the moment, scandals on you, people stop even buying your music. You say, why are you going to go buy music of that? You lose even your source of income. Sin can make one truly to become a nobody at the end of the day. And we thank God because the Messiah took it upon himself so that we today, we may not go through the same thing or we may not pay the price that he paid. But the only thing we need to do is just to rely on him. And I've picked up and I've checked that even, I cannot say, let's just put it this way. When I see myself, people of my age, for instance, I look at them and people who are of my age who are endeavoring themselves into drinking alcohol and all this, when they put us together, I look younger, 10 years younger than them. You know, it's okay, what is really happening? The only thing that will make us that we are the same age is only if I say I'm your age. But if I don't say anything, I can be considered as a younger man among the younger people. I'll be considered as the younger one.
Now, so what is making things be that way? Because sin has a way of really, truly making you lose everything. And it is something that when you look at it, I mean, we cannot take it lightly. As Muruti Maka said, this is a spirit.
Yeah.
It's a spirit that has power to destroy. Mm. When it comes the purpose of not leaving you with even the little thing that you can keep. You know, when sin was introduced in the world, was to make one to disobey, to disobey God, to disobey them and the Creator. Say, hey, is this really said that if you do this and that? And the person, okay, no, let just think. And when people, I mean, they agreed to fall into the trap of the enemy, since that time, man was kicked out of the presence of Elohim. Meaning that sin can make you even lose your address.
Mm.
Sin can make you lose your properties. It can make you lose your family.
Yeah.
Today we have people who have lost, I mean, everything. Even their own children, they cannot respect him anymore. Why? Because of sin. Because they endeavor themselves into things that the rest say, if our father can do such a thing, he's no longer our father.
Yeah.
If our mother can do such a thing, she's no longer our mother.
Hmm.
I mean, you said, I mean, you know, this is something that we don't just say, okay, because you know, sometimes when you talk about sins that, you know, it just, I mean, you transgress the law, just go a bit out, of the line. But going out of the line has got a lot of, I mean, consequences. There are things that can come out of just one mistake. You said it was just once, and then from the once you found yourself that you've killed someone. From the once you found yourself that you're making someone abort. From the once you found yourself making someone steal something. You know, this is always like that, and it feels very, very bad. You know, and things goes end in end sometimes with what you call situations that you go through life. Because, you know, some people, they have a kind of excuse. They say, no, because my family is poor, that's why I engage myself into this. Mm. But then, at the end of the day, what do you get? Your family is poor, yes. But to get into this, do you even become rich? No. You don't become rich. You endeavor yourself in sin, but you never become rich. But what's the use? I could believe that if you engage yourself into sin and you become rich, maybe something. But even those who happen to make money through whatever they do, they don't live peace.
Mm.
They always have something that is behind their head that tells them what you're doing and what you've done is not right. You know, and then sin is not something, as you said, you know, it's not something just to take, I mean, you just take it, you know, it is something that you can just do, you know, can fall into this and tomorrow we'll repent, it's okay. But the Bible says the wage of sin is death. And it's whenever somebody sin, there's something dying. Yeah. You might not see it, but there's something dying inside of you.
Mm.
And that thing will have a power to catch up with you one day, because you'll have it to explain one day.
Mm. Sure. Well, welcome to you. Thank you so much, Professor. We are talking about the disfigurements of sin and what the word says with regards to this. Look, man, the word says quite a lot here. And that is, as I said, in Isaiah 1, verse 6, the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it. That stability which is divine, the health which is divine, the rational which is divine, and the understanding which is divine, it speaks also. That says, but wounds and bruises and petrifying sores, all these are damages that are brought on by sin. And someone says, but I don't see wounds on me. These are spiritual and they will start to manifest. Worry not. And says, they have not been closed or bound up. Closed, that is, being declared not guilty, forgiven, bound up, restored. And says, or even soothed with ointment. That is restitution. It's quite a tremendous lack of this when one dwells into sin. That becomes something that is not there. And then in Isaiah 30, verses 26, moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Elohim binds up the bruises of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. Sin brings strokes. These are spiritual strokes, man. Spiritual bruises and spiritual strokes, if you know what a stroke is. Hey! Give us a shout. Talk to us directly there. 012-334-1322. Send us a WhatsApp. 082-657-2729.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/Radio Pulpit.
Share the love. Share the truth. Share the life on 657 AM.
Moruti Muraka. Hey, yeah, no. The disfigurements are severe. And much of the times, there is quite less preaching about this. What comes to mind, sir?
Yeah. you when you are reading those scriptures in Isaiah, you mentioned something which is very important, that they are spiritual, but they don't stop there.
Mm-mm.
They manifest physically.
Yeah.
And even in Revelation, the Father says, I am making everything fresh, new. Now, that newness or the freshness which has come to undo the disfigurement of sin, that's also in the spiritual arena.
Mm.
And then will manifest. This last verse which you read says, in that day, the moon will, light will be as the sun.
And yeah,
the sun
Muruti, we can't hear you clearly. It looks like Ukarwa shifter, so we can't hear you clearly.
Hi.
Yeah, yeah. Now
can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, even in that scripture, the moon's light will be like the sun, and the sun itself will be sevenfold strong. Now, that may sound like it's just poetic. It's not only that. It means in the spirit as well as physically, that manifestation will be there when the Father has fully dealt through Jesus Christ, fully dealt with the disfigurement of sin. Now, let's go to where the scripture tells us very clearly that we should look at our heart. Let me go to Proverbs chapter 4. I believe it's verse 22 or 24, but let me see. It's Keep your heart with all diligence.
Yes.
For out of it spring the issues
of life.
Mm. Put away from you, that's verse 24, a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Verse 27, do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now, those things start first with a decision inside, in the heart. And when one, first of all, realizes that all human beings are prisoners, the only one who sets them free is Jesus the Christ. And we put our trust on him as our Savior. The next step is how we conduct ourselves. If we make sure that we are not lying one to another, we speak the truth, we put perverse lips far away from us, we switch off the TV from the channel that is spewing out things that could affect us negatively and pull us back into the perversities of sin. If we become like that, we realize as we are walking that we become sensitive to the disfigurement of sin. And we hate them. We stay away from them. But if we don't, hear what the Word of God says as those that are born again, then we fall prey also to this disfigurement. And I'm speaking to those that are inside. For instance, let me give an example. When you are in a workplace, it is commonplace for people to swear. Any, you know, if there are things they want to show their excitement about something, they swear. They want to show their displeasure about something, they swear. Now, it is a disfigurement. Maybe somebody doesn't realize that it's a disfigurement. It means inside there is a spirit which is pushing you to speak perverse things with your lips. And in other words, you are sowing. And the Word of God says, if you sow to the flesh, you will reap a whirlwind. And these are the realities which are there. And number two, people who have money hide the disfigurements which are with them. And in the world, the enemy presents it as if the people who have the disfigurement of sin are those people who are the lowest of the ladder in human society. The people you may call deplorables, people that have failed. Maybe they were somewhere in university and they couldn't cope. And then they just became subject to slavery, to substance abuse and those kind of things. But people who have money are also depraved. They do things which I wouldn't want to mention here on a family radio. Because money is able to hide for them those things. They can do those things here in Joburg and in hidden places in the high suburbs. Tomorrow fly out and go and do that in Dubai. And then move on to another place and do. And so it takes a long time for even the long hand of the Lord to catch up with them.
One just has to pick up a leaf and look at the hip-hop
culture.
In the culture.
Mm.
The very top guns there, how they have lived, how they are living.
Mm.
Money is able to hide these things. And when their shenanigans become exposed, one realizes this thing has been happening all along. There's been disfigurement inside. Now it's manifesting outside.
Mm.
Because that same person who could use money to make themselves smell nice, look nice, when they are in prison, now they don't have access maybe to those kind of things.
Mm.
Then you start to see them age like overnight.
Yes.
Why? That corruption degradation has been there inside. But the money was sort of fooling everybody that it is not happening. It is the same as the political sphere where you find that these things are happening, that because of the power, authority that people have in political office, they could do things which are against the law of God, knowing very well that they are, but because they are able even to take drugs that can keep them awake for a long time, and you think, hey, these guys have got energy. These are the things which are happening. These are the disfigurement of sin. And I'm not leaving the leadership in the churches because of the allurement of money, the deceitfulness of sin. Allurement of money, comfort, and everything, they start hobnobbing with rich people and so forth. And then in the end, the pulpit becomes just a means of using witchcraft over people and not bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people become just eloquent in the pulpit and churning out this, but behind closed doors, what has happened? They have succumbed to sin. And sin now is working in them, inside the disfigurement which we are talking about. And these things are spread. The only antidote to this is yielding to Christ as Savior, and then secondly, walking in the Spirit as He says we should walk in the Spirit, and hating evil and rejecting to walk in the flesh. That way, the disfigurement that are naturally in our bodies will be kept in check by the Spirit until we have run our race. We have fought a good fight and have kept the faith. Then when the Father says it's okay, then we sleep.
I hear you quite well. Send us your WhatsApps. What do you think are the damages of sin in a person's life? What do you think are the damages of sin, the disfigurements of sin in a person's life? You can send us a WhatsApp, 082-657-2729, 082-657-2729. You can also drop us a voice note there. And of course, also the very aspect of saying, the Father will forgive, blah, 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 blah. You know, there's always that arrogance that people bring across, especially in preachings, man, and so that people can just have large followings, and which is a sad state of affairs. give us a shout. 012-334-1322. Let's hear what you say in this manner.
Share our passion for life on 657 AM.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
As easy as the touch of a button, the message of life on 657 AM.